Ed Bouchette joining us the morning after a game. Here he is, our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Tired.
Yes.
Tired.
Preaching to the choir, for sure. You asked Mike Tomlin last night if he had ever seen anything like that, 24 points in under 3 minutes, and he just went, yes. And then he expounded upon it a little bit through a laugh, but that was a rare thing. You've seen a lot of football. How about you? Do you remember anything like that?
The only thing I remember, Greg, I covered the, and I can't remember if it was a 78 or 79 AFC title game against Houston and Pittsburgh, and there was a flurry. The Steelers just put them away at the end of the first half in a driving cold rain. And I don't know how many points they scored. I haven't gone back and looked yet. I am going to do that today, though. But it was a bunch of points. But three touchdowns in 73 seconds, you know. I mean, the Steelers looked it up. It's their fastest touchdowns ever. And, I'm not surprised at that.
Now, Ed, yes, it's just one win, but, man, what a big win this was, right? I mean, I know Steelers don't like to read things or don't listen to the media, but I think amongst themselves they needed a game like this for their own heads.
Well, there's no doubt, especially after how they started out, Josh. I mean, they were terrible. I don't have to tell you guys that. I don't have to tell their fans that. They were booing them. You know, 13-0. It looked worse than 13-0 at that point. There were 9,000 no-shows to begin with, so the fans aren't that excited about this team. And then for them to come out and do nothing on offense, not be able to stop them on defense, it was terrible. And to flip it around as they did was big, just because, you know, they had to win that if they were going to make this season interesting at all.
And I've always thought that one of the easiest things to do in the NFL is to move the ball with about a minute to go, even if you're on 20-yard line, into field goal range at the end of a half. And yet at the same time, I was stunned last night where the Steelers, all of a sudden, they're ahead just like that. And Houston comes out and they decide to throw the ball. Were you as surprised at that as I was? I thought they'd just be better off with the momentum, with the Steelers' way, just sitting on it and going in down by 4 points instead of trying to add on.
You know, Jim, these coaches, they don't want to quit anymore. I mean, they don't think that way. There's any number, even the Steelers. I mean, you'll see them, they'll have 45 seconds left. A lot of times they'll try a draw play to see if they can get any yards, and if they do, then they'll go for it. But they don't want to give up before the half, and I think that's what Houston was doing. But with that field position that they had, that was at the 20 when they came out throwing. So I don't really blame them.
After the other team had scored two touchdowns in 30 seconds?
I know. I think what's Mike Tomlin say? We don't live in our fears. That's a popular quote by him, and I think a lot of coaches think that way.
Talking to our Steelers insider, Ed Bouchette of the Post-Gazette on the Fan Morning Show, and Martavis Bryant with that big-time 35-yard touchdown reception. And obviously we saw how good he looked there. Did you see enough from him in his first action last night to believe that he can be a consistent deep threat and a weapon for the Steelers offense?
I thought he he got behind the cornerback and beat him badly, actually, and made a nice grab in the back of the end zone. That was not an easy catch because of where he was. And, I want to see more. Don't you? I want to see more.
Which means you'll be seeing less of Wheaton. Are you okay with that one?
Well, I don't know if it's so much less of Wheaton, but, you know, he didn't show me anything again last night.
Right.
Well, did you notice Wheaton getting fewer opportunities?
Well, yeah, they threw to him, 11 times, and he caught four in the previous game. I'm looking at his targets right now, and they only threw to him twice last night, and he had no catches.
As far as the running game goes, Ed, Le'Veon Bell continues to impress. I know he's kind of a knucklehead at times, seems a little bit immature. We know about the McKnight Road stuff, but at this point, there's not a bad thing you could say about him on the field, running the ball and catching the ball. Have you gotten to that point now where you feel like he could be a very, very special player for this offense?
Oh, I think he has been, Greg. You're leading the conference in rushing. Well, I guess he won't be now because Foster overtook him. But yards from scrimmage, it's only his second year. He knows how to run. He just knows how to run, and that's a pretty good quality. And also, he's showing what he did at Michigan State. He's durable. You know, there were questions his rookie year because he had that bruised knee in training camp, and then he had that sprained foot to start the season. And you got to wonder, is this guy going to be durable? Well, he took some hits last night, and he looks pretty durable to me.
And again, Ben stacking good games. Another good game. Used his feet a little more. Audible out of that play to hit Bell quickly because he just saw something. It was between those two. I'm sure that play wasn't designed for that, but just using his made the contact and then threw it. How's he doing so far in your eyes, Ben wise?
He's Ben, Josh. You know, I mean, he's Ben. He held the ball maybe a little too long a couple times, and then. Once again, he lost a fumble. I don't like that of
no.
him.
I'm getting used
sacked,
to it.
You know, but nevertheless, they were backed up. I mean, Mike Tomlin pointed that out, that was a key play, and it was, even though it led to a field goal, that 43-yard short pass. I think he caught it 3 yards deep, maybe. It was a very short pass, and he ran it, you know, all the way down. And they wound up getting a field goal, but it, as Mike Tomlin pointed out last night, it flipped the field because they were about to have to punt from inside their 10. It was looking very bad for them there, down 13-0, and that was a big play.
You know, you mentioned earlier about Foster overtaking Bell in the rushing race, but does the rushing numbers, don't they become rather irrelevant? As you point out, when you're catching the little swing passes out of the backfield, those are basically running plays. And if Bell's accounting for, what, last night, 88-plus, so he's over 140 yards last night, if you include the passing total.
Yeah, and we walked past 6 Lombardi trophies, no rushing titles, Jim.
That's true. I remember that, yeah.
Hey, I will say this. You know, everybody's upbeat today, and they should be because of the turnaround in that game for the most part. I mean, I picked them to win 31-24. I was a point off each way. But consider this. They scored 3 touchdowns in 73 seconds. The Steelers scored 3 touchdowns in 73 seconds. They scored none in the rest of the 58 minutes and 47 seconds of that football game.
Yeah, that's certainly a way to look at it. I know your cynical nature at times, and I was looking at your Twitter account last night, and you write, Steelers... offensive tackle Marcus Gilbert taking a locker room for possible concussion. Mike Adams now versus J.J. Watt, which was basically saying the way I took it was, you know, watch out because Mike Adams certainly hasn't acquitted himself very well in the NFL in those opportunities. But I didn't think he hurt him at all last night. What was your assessment of him when he got that opportunity?
No, I agree. I didn't focus on him, Greg. But the fact that we didn't see anything means he must have done a good job because you notice those tackles when they're not doing the job. And J.J. Watt, he had one sack. He was not a force as we were led to, you know, believe he is, and I'm not saying he's not. He just wasn't last night. You have to say Mike Adams did the job.
And obviously coming up, 2-5-2 teams. High-powered teams, teams that have good quarterbacks that can pick you apart. So these are probably the next 2 weeks are the big tests then in your eyes.
These next 2 weeks are huge for any number of reasons. Number one, they're home games. And, they were on the precipice, we thought at the time, of going 1-2 at home. Home has not been very good to them. Their fans are not turning out. This is only the third game of the season, and there were 9,000 no-shows. They've got 2 more games, 1 at night, 1 late in the day, against 2 very good teams. Not only that, Baltimore plays at Cincinnati this weekend and then at Pittsburgh. 2 wins by the Ravens, I think they just run away with this division. And, you know, the Steelers, Bengals will have the first shot, but the Steelers have a chance to stop that and maybe make a claim themselves.
Now, you mentioned Marcus Gilbert with the concussion, and Mike Tomlin said afterwards they'd follow the usual concussion protocol. Anybody else? I didn't notice any other injuries. Is there anything that we may have missed?
Beecham's shoulder all right?
Well, not that I know of, Jim. I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll find out a little more this afternoon, but not that I know of, unless Lawrence Timmons has a sore tummy from all that activity.
Yeah, all that puking. Ed, before...
It's too early in the morning for that, Greg.
We've been up earlier than you, so yeah. Puking is okay at this point. You mentioned a couple of times the no-show. In your eyes, I was there, I saw it, I heard the boos. You could tell that the place wasn't packed, that the energy wasn't through the roof. To me, it wasn't a huge deal because the Steelers came off a terrible loss. It's a Monday night game. The forecast wasn't great. Today's NFL fan loves to sit at home and watch the game on TV. Was that a big deal in your eyes last night that the atmosphere was what it was?
Yeah, I think it is, Greg. I'm sorry. I'm used to, I've been covering this team too long. I'm used to when they're going good, the fans just turning out and not sitting at home. And 9,000 no-shows for your third home game. I mean, you can say it was a night game, but I remember when night games were a pretty big deal, especially Monday night games were a pretty big deal in Pittsburgh. What's their record? 16-0 at home on Monday nights. It just shows a lethargy, if you will, among the fan base, at least for showing up at games. I don't think, you know, as far as commenting and everything else, they're still passionate, but I think that's a potential problem. I really do. Not that they're not going to sell tickets. They're going to sell out forever because of the seat licenses people have invested, but it's not a good atmosphere when you have almost 10,000 no-shows for your third game.
And to you, it's more of a Steelers problem than a league problem, because you see it in other places too, but of course the passion here you would think would be always greater.
Yeah, you know what? They're having a problem in Dallas, too, and it's an opposite problem. They're filling the place with other people's fans. Their fans are not they're selling their tickets and everything. So it is, in a sense, a league-wide problem, but, we focus here in on what's going on here, and maybe my history's too long. I just remember all those packed houses and that place rocking and rolling, especially when it was at Three Rivers Stadium.